This is a HeadGum Original.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Wait, I'm getting really scared. I'm gonna be okay, I'm breathing through it, but you're listening to Drag Her, the one and only RuPaul's Drag Race Recap podcast available to you on the internet. Oh my god, I'm freaking out. I have trouble breathing. Okay. I'm here with the gaggiest, the most beautiful, the most stunning, the actually British.
Actually British.
Kirby, how about you? Kirby, I'm so glad you're here.
A name has never been more butchered, not by you in general, but
My chair. But talk actually, to me about
it,
this.
It has. I definitely should not claim that title, because if you have my name at least is white on paper, you know?
Interesting. A little bit of cachet.
But then it's only butchered when it translates. Because I say, like, hi, my name's Kirby. And, you know, I get Cubby.
Uh-huh.
I get people say Kirby Albatista. I don't know why. They just feel like being a little extra, putting a little swerve on that.
I mean, your name does kind of sound like the name of a house, like in the ballroom scene.
House of Baptiste? Or yes. House of Howell Baptiste?
All of it. House of Kirby Howell Baptista!
Okay, then, but there wasn't an A.
Yeah, I'm adding the A.
I think maybe House of Howell. But you know, I can't be bothered. I'm not giving my dad that credit. House of Baptiste. Sometimes I want to just be Kirby. Sometimes I think about going just by Kirby.
I think you should.
It's just easy.
There's no other Kirbys. I mean, you have to fight the marshmallow, but...
Yeah, you gotta fight the marshmallow. And there's other Kirbys where they don't go by Kirby.
No, you
it
should...
be easier.
You should. No, you
I
should get on
I just have to write
it.
One name down. Do you know how long... I always have to write so many names.
And I'm sure it doesn't fit on standardized testing.
Never fits. It's always it's butchered. And then on credit cards, it always looks different. On IDs, it always looks different. Never give your kid...
Because they squish the letters.
Yeah, don't give your kid a double barrel. Someone's just got to compromise and be like, all right, my name is dead. And my kid has one. Like, don't give
I think
kid
kids should have a new last name. I think...
Or give them a new one, but just one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool, give them a new last name.
I love it. There's a lot of weird family stuff. Trust me, I have four names in my name because of family bullshit and all that. Like,
yes.
They have to have this name and this name and this name.
Yeah.
It's so stupid.
That's just so stupid. But anyway.
Back
to drag.
We're talking in person. We're at the new HeadGum Studio. Work. We love it. We're living.
We're here. We're drinking free fizzy water.
Oh,
we love it.
Oh, we love it. I miss the free little treats you get from a podcast.
Yes.
Oh my god. And honestly, and they know this, but like, it might be the reason why they had to move, because I stole so many treats from the podcast studio.
Oh, I love it. Podcast studios always have the best treats.
They
but
do.
I don't have t-shirts or anything here, by the way. T-shirts
maybe
hats?
Somewhere in the front.
Okay, we'll look.
But it's also stuff that you'd never buy. Like, I'm eating Little Bites party cake muffins. I would
never buy that.
I would never buy a box of this. I would be too embarrassed. I would be mortified. I would
completely
jump right in the street. But here at a podcast studio, you're like,
anything goes.
Anything goes. Kirby, I have a million things to talk to you about.
Okay.
First of all, I love you so much.
Yeah, you
it
so
can't
much.
Be it can't be overstated. You are amazing. You are cool. You are beautiful. You honestly, it's so weird, but you're like one of the first people who you're an incredibly successful actor right now.
Thank you, Manon.
Cruella, which we'll talk about.
Okay.
Cruella, I mean, Barry, Good Place, a million other things.
Yeah, Sandman. I mean, I don't want to brag, but Sandman.
That's big.
Yeah,
that is gigantic.
Yeah, that's pretty big. I think I have to slot in Sandman instead of, because Barry and The Good Place now feel like they're old. So people
they're
will
old.
Be like, oh, you're on those, but I'm like, oh, God. But I guess they're not that old.
I just rewatched Barry.
Yeah, that's true. I guess everyone's had time to rediscover things over the pandemic.
The scene where you're like doing your trauma or you're trying to make your trauma important was so...
That show is so fun.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, it was. It's a true like creative joy to work on and just be silly. It's the silliest show.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's so good. Okay, that, I love you. You're one of the first people who like truly... talk to me and you were like, when I was trying to write and getting my writing shit together,
yeah.
You're one of the first people who was like, this is good.
Oh my God, because you're an excellent writer,
Mano. Stop. Thank you.
Just so everyone knows, listen, Mano does his podcast, but Mano is a fantastic writer, excellent comedic understanding, exceptional.
I love you.
Exceptional. And when people really get to know, it's done. It's over.
Thank you, but like I felt like Frankenstein's monster because you're one of the first people who like looked at me dead in the face and was like, this is good.
Yeah.
And I was like, me good. You know, you're like, you're just not sure if you have it.
Yeah.
And you're like, this is really good. You really supported me and now I'm working on a couple things writing and I want to thank you.
Yeah, no, you have it.
Incredible. For sure. Okay, let's talk about being British. You're from Angel.
I'm from Angel, Islington.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. How, and we were talking about the kind of evolution of the UK drag series.
Yes.
It's changed a bit and
it's definitely changed in general, and I'm sure, I mean, I'm not obviously not the first to say this, but obviously we have been Drag Race super fans from the beginning.
Yes.
So just watching its evolution through, influenced by, because of, and also becoming a part of social media has been kind of a trip, especially when you go back and start watching, like during the pandemic, I went back to, like, I've seen season one, but I don't do it all. When I start from beginning, I often start from season two.
Yeah.
And then going through and watching the evolution and, yeah, seeing the influence of social media and seeing what that has done to Queens. But I think it's really interesting seeing it come to the UK because I think that is interesting. Yeah. For a long time, the UK, I mean, I would say the UK Drag Race is so much about, it's so much more about theatre and pantomime and that sort of idea. Like,
oh, panto.
Panto. Oh, no, she didn't. Oh, yes, she did. But because it's like...
And referencing Kath and Kim. I feel like it's all about that.
Yeah, it's a lot. It feels like people who are very, very well versed in theatrics. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
In the theatre, in...
Missing this season a little bit.
Yeah, me too, because normally they get on there like, I do tap, I do this, I do that. Like, they are full on, they can be plucked out of Drag Race and put into a West End play.
Which I really feel in the first season, especially.
Was exactly true. But I don't feel like it as much now, and I definitely don't feel like that's the same for the US, and certainly not for the Canadian. Like, it's just not the same.
Yeah.
I just think that the origins of it are a little different. And even if you look at, like, old British drag, or even just, like, even if it isn't full on drag, like Dame Edna, or even like Eddie Izzard, like, just sort of, like, sort of being
gender fucky.
Yeah, like, it has always been steeped in comedy and theatre and, like, that sort of world.
Yeah.
And I think seeing the influence of social media is taking drag, in some ways, you're seeing the influence of the British culture of it being more about the look and the aesthetic.
Which I'm just worried about, especially this season. Yeah. The looks are very good. And I guess evolution is whatever.
Natural
evolution is good
and
whatever. But I am missing some of that, just the raw talent feeling.
And individuality.
Yeah.
I think evolution is a wonderful thing, and it's like you have to adapt or you don't make it. But I just also wonder what we're adapting to. Like,
right.
So watching, I watched the first episode of this season. Mm-hmm. And then, Crystal Versace's on there, and she's a 19-year-old queen. So she's she has grown she's probably had more of her experience in drag is probably the show than even the drag scene outside.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they've grown up, what this show has been on their whole life. Whereas we kind of like, you watch the little, we probably saw little janky drag shows, or like, I knew RuPaul, from way back. He was in Sabrina the Teenage Witch. You know what I mean? Like, that was you kind of knew it from that, and drag was kind of underground, and now it's not.
And even like Boy George, David Bowie, okay, we're playing with gender, but it's part of pop culture.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It wasn't like this separate thing, but now obviously drag is you know, it's really very much part of like, I mean, I don't know if people would agree that it's part of mainstream culture. I think it's certainly like mainstream, like, you know, coastally it's very mainstream. You know what I mean? Like, I think in like, I guess it is to a certain extent. I don't think it's like shady to say it is slightly more mainstream. I know, I remember watching an episode of RuPaul and he was like, it's not, you know, it will never be that.
Right.
But, you know, when we're looking, when you actually start looking at it and you're looking at like Emmy nominations and this and the other, it's like, it has been given a certain seal of approval.
It's because, kind of in the mainstream.
Yeah. I mean, also I would say, like, it's at a point where it is making huge amounts of money for a lot of different people, and it's not just about like the individual queen. I mean, you've got whole streaming services that are just making money off of drag.
Yeah,
and I don't know that everyone in the top positions in these companies is you know, necessarily the people that would be, that you would hope are making the money from drag.
That's true.
You know,
that's true.
And so, like, I hate, but I mean, I don't know if I'm qualified to say it, but I do think from looking at it, it is. At least somewhat in, it is in the mainstream. It's in pop culture, you know, like RuPaul's on.
I think it's mainstream.
Yeah, I mean, once you get on SNL, once you do a bit on SNL,
oh my god,
yeah. Again, it's not bad. It's evolution, but I wonder if there is a way to both evolve and keep what people keep the sort of like history of it alive.
Yeah, and that'll be interesting.
It'll be interesting.
I mean, why I think like gory drag is pop. Like I think horror is innately entwined with drag because horror is seen as fringe and repulsive to
people,
which is I think why drag artists like it.
Yes, and it was, and you know, yeah, horror is sort of seen as like scary and unknown.
Yeah,
that was drag for a long time. Of like, is this nefarious underground thing? And is it like, what is it that we don't know about it? And why are they doing it?
Yeah.
And like, yeah, of course, I think that's
Satan.
Yeah, that lends itself to like,
which we're not talking about Dragula right now, but Dragula is happening amongst 800 different seasons of Drag Race.
Yeah. So wait, what is Dragula?
Dragula is a spooky drag competition in its fourth season.
Okay. Is this also streaming on...
It's on Shudder.
Another streaming service.
Yes.
It's my God.
I know.
I mean,
you just passed away. Come back.
And like, gone are the days of just like typing into your Google bar, watch something for free, and just finding a million of these weird underground places.
Oh my God. Wait, what was that one website we would always go find like the episode of Drag Race on? Was it Watch Mojo?
Fuck. They always used to like change.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Like,
I missed
that. This is the episode, but it's backwards.
Yes. There's this one, but there's just all Japanese subtitles below.
Yeah.
It's okay. Fuck. It's so like,
we would always find the link.
But
I don't
see,
remember.
That's what I mean about it being so underground and being punk. Like, we couldn't you couldn't even find this stuff. It wasn't like, you know, you did have to find someone and be like, here, what's this link?
It's wild.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Okay,
let's talk a little more about this episode. We're British. I'm just so glad you're here because there's been so much I've missed, and the listeners keeping like, Jesus fucking Christ. They keep messaging me being like, it's a reference to this. It's a reference to that.
Okay, yeah.
There's so much I missed. In this episode, well, we'll get to it, but later on.
Bra Wars.
In Bra Wars, we're talking Bra Wars. There's a lot of shit happening. Unfortunately, this season has been filled with craziness, drama, twists and turns for sure. But what I really want to talk about is, why did I feel like before we even get into the episode chronologically, why do I feel like the British sense of humor was not present in this acting challenge? Like,
oh my God. Okay. Well, I will say this, and this is something that has happened. Like, I mean, I think this goes through waves, right? And this is something that this is both talking about drag and also just global culture. Maybe some people do know, maybe because there's huge amounts of money to be made, but like, culture is not like, America is like the biggest exporter of culture. That is a fact.
Isn't that funny?
And more than that, you could even pinpoint and go LA culture. Like, that is the almost like the defining culture of the world. And with social media and with all of this, it's almost like everyone is trying to homogenize to that, whether you are or you're not. Like, I even noticed it in the first season of Drag Race, UK Drag Race. It was very much like, I don't know, there was like one outlier who was doing like the pop in and doing like the American voice and doing the like, yes, God. And like,
yes.
But that's not how British people speak. But it has become a thing that we've taken on because of American culture.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can keep diving down deeper and going, it's like, it's queer culture, then it's black, and it's black female, you know, started all this. And then you go like, wow, isn't it so funny that this vernacular is being not just exported across like different classes in America and different cultures where you've got white girls doing like, you know, being like, yes, honey, or whatever.
That's scary.
It's exported globally. And I think it's diluting some of the individuality of like, of a lot of people's cultures. But I think that's with everything. I think for somehow we're all kind of like merging into one thing. I mean, like Crystal Versace, on her episode, in the opening, she's like, I got my, you know, she got cheeks done, my lips done, her chin, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, you know, plastic surgery doesn't mean I don't love myself, but, you know, I'm just enhancing what God gave me. And I'm like, but towards what, right? Like, this idea, and she's like, it's my body. And I'm like, of course, it absolutely is your body. And I think it's also a greater topic of plastic surgery in general, which is like, yes, everyone has the right to modify their own body.
Yeah.
I think that what happens is that we say, it's almost like you give half a story and you don't tell the rest of it. It's like, but what is the other half of the story is, why is there a standard beauty that you think you have to match?
Yeah.
And that has become like, you know, you're enhancing what God gave, but you're enhancing it towards a very specific look that has become very much like one standard of beauty that is that has become the gold standard, whether it is or is not.
Yeah.
And it's kind of scary to see absolutely everyone homogenizing towards that. Like, despite your ethnic background, despite what you've started with, like, it's we're in an odd place where it's like, yes, honey, liberate yourself, but also look just like this.
I said it before, I'll say it again. It is the Kardashians set a very strange precedent when their 13-year-olds changed their faces and body. And they gaslit the world and said, this is self-love.
This is self-love.
How dare you?
How dare you? Also, like, the amount of people who are truly brutalizing themselves because they can't fit, because they want to look like this but don't have that kind of money. Like, first of all, guys, let me just tell you this. At this point, the Kardashians are not paying for their own plastic surgery. So when you go and get, like, a fucking janky boob job in Turkey, like, you know, like, they're not
gotta go to Turkey.
Go to Turkey. If you're in the UK, go get Turkey.
Istanbul.
I don't know if it's actually in Istanbul, but is that what it is? But like, that's a lot of people go to Turkey. But
Lebanon, people love Lebanon.
Well, here, where do people go to? What, Mexico, right?
I think so, for their BBLs.
But point is, you're going and a lot of people are putting themselves into like pretty sticky situations trying to emulate something where it's like, oh no, they're getting the best of the best in the best places, and they're not even, I mean, a Kardashian, write in if you're paying for your plastic surgery, tell me. But I think at this point, like, they are the face of plastic surgery. I don't think they're paying for it at all.
It is
odd where we're convincing people, like, it's self-love to not look like yourself. Like,
yes.
It's like, be you, but don't look like you.
Yeah,
I saw this tweet where this person wrote, like, everyone, I don't understand what's happened, but everyone wants to look like a bicycle seat. It's not fucking true. It's like the pointy little shoe.
Oh my God, that's like, so true.
Everyone looks like a fucking bicycle seat.
Well, I guess people got jealous because everyone wants to put their ass on top of a bicycle seat.
I guess.
Everyone said, I want that.
My face looked like a bicycle seat.
It's fucking wild. Well, this top four is wild. Well, top four, question.
Wild.
Exclamation, question, parentheses.
Yeah. I'll let the listeners know this was very surprising to me because I watched the first episode. I've been lagging. So I watched the first episode and then knew I was doing this, so I had to jump to this episode.
Which I can't imagine more of a breakneck.
Oh my God, what an absolute breakneck. Never in my life have I ever experienced dragging this way, because I watch and I'm normally like on time watching it with it. Like, it's almost like, it's like sport. It's our sports, isn't it? It's like,
we're scheduled
viewers. We're watching it when it comes
out.
The
way specifics I know is embarrassing.
It's crazy.
But it's just like a straight guy knowing shit about the fucking Broncos or whatever.
So watching and then jumping, I'm like, holy shit.
We can go ahead and say your F1 observations were,
my
Charity's amazing.
Which one was that?
Your Charity is the spooky one.
Charity was going to the end for me.
Yes.
Charity. I keep wanting to call her Victoria Sponge.
Victoria Scone.
That's it. Yeah. Why don't you call herself Victoria Sponge? That would have been so much better.
You think?
Because it's Victoria Sponge cake.
And is it scone? It's not scone. It's scone.
Well, I say scone. I don't say scone. I don't, but I think it's a, I think there's
a region thing.
North South thing.
Okay.
Where people say scone or scone, or maybe it's a posh, whatever thing. I always grow up calling it a scone, but yeah. I understand Victoria scone.
Because you're just like, why isn't she here?
I didn't know. In my mind, the way it was being set up in the first one, yeah. Like, it's groundbreaking. It's this, it's yeah. that, it's the other. And she obviously like did so well. In my mind, I'm like, oh yeah, okay, she's top three. Like Charity, yeah. her. You know who I love? I loved...
Chorisa?
No. Oh, I did love her.
Yeah, Chorisa
I didn't
know
she. I didn't think she was going to make it. Great yeah. name. I will say, the Brits have the names on lock.
They
Chorisa
do.
Chorisa May.
Chorisa May.
Perfection.
Bringing her culture, bringing Chorisa May into this.
Amazing. Amazing. Like, bringing almost like, a, you know, that kind of classic villainess sort of thing to make.
Yes, because people hated her,
yeah,
is my understanding.
Yes, yes, we did love her. I mean, we didn't love her, but also poor woman got so scapegoated, I will say. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Boris really farted in the room and left and then came back in after. You know, and was like, oh, did the spell clear? Okay, so yeah, I would have thought Charity. I would have thought her.
Yeah.
I loved... really English one when she left, she was like, you're not my mother. She did that bit.
Oh.
What was her name? She had a
Scarlet Harlot.
Scarlet Harlot, yes.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
You're in for a roller coaster.
I didn't think she would make it to the top, but I just liked her. I liked her.
You're in for such
I don't know.
A
okay, I'm in for a roller coaster.
You're in such.
I loved Elevate, and I did think Elevate would be there.
Yeah. She's just talented.
Yes. But it would have been Victoria. Top three, I would have said Victoria Scone, Charity, and Ella Bidet.
Yeah. I've been pretty harsh on Ella on this podcast. I'm really very honest.
But I'll go back and see. I've got to see why.
Maybe. I think I've just been a little harsh on her. And I'm going to say this. And of course, some of the listeners are going to give us negative reviews. But I just think, you know, I think she's very talented. But I just think there's a residue of privilege there. Because I don't think she's getting critiqued the same way everyone else is.
Yeah, I will say, like
in she's gorgeous.
The first one, she's gorgeous. And, like, she very much has, like, the face that I really like, where it's, like, that... She really has, that masculine, feminine thing. It's
totally.
Also, she looks like a girl who has a masculine face, and I'm, like,
yeah.
And that's very attractive.
Like a video game character.
Kind of.
You're
and
like,
I think we're all drawn in by it. But I know what you mean. I mean, in this challenge, we'll get to it, Bra Wars, I thought she was good. And I mean good. Like, when you give a review and they're, like, very bad, and one side's very bad and one side's excellent and the middle is good, I thought she was good. And then I was so surprised by the way they gassed her up. I was like...
Oh, yes.
I was like, wait, did we watch the same
thing? Thank you, Kirby. Wait, in fact, silence. I feel like taking a break.
Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn can be in your hands today with Earnin. Come on, y'all. We've all been there. We want to spend a little bit of extra dough on a big night out or a last minute gift for like your boo. Sometimes money just can be, dare I say, complicated. Well, worry not, because Earnin helps you get your money today as opposed to later. You know what I'm saying? If you don't know, wake up, because Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work. You can get up to $100 per day or $750 per pay period. Earnin is used by over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability. So why don't you go ahead and download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Drag Her Under Podcast when you sign up. It really helps the show. That's Drag Her Under Podcast. Get some extra dough. Have a little fun. And don't wait for your employer to give you your money, honey. Earnin is subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Hi, listeners. Here to tell you about a very important organization called Al Otro Lado, which helps to reunify families which have been ripped apart due to our country's cruel border policies. As you know, since 2018, many people have been suffering through these policies, which have taken children away from their parents. And Al Otro Lado is working to reunify families. They've already reunified over 100 refugee families, and they create legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the United States and Tijuana. We want you to get involved today. Help me support Al Otro Lado and donate today. You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode below, or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website at alotrolado.org/volunteer. That's alotrolado.org/volunteer.
Bring back my break.
We're back. We're back. Yes, let's go ahead and talk about the doling out of these roles.
Yeah.
You know, we're doing Bra Wars.
Bra Wars.
And it's sort of a parody of Star Wars. It's camp. We have our characters. We have Bra Barella, yeah, the sort of lead, goofy
yeah
lead.
Yeah.
C-3PO. We have, you know, the slutty robot.
And Yoda,
baby Yolo.
And Yolo.
The Yoda. And our evil villain, Darth Shader.
Yeah, Darth Shader.
What performance, what role would you want in this crazy, in this thing, if you had to pick?
Darth Shader, for sure.
Okay.
I think Darth Shader had, for me, Darth Shader is the one that has the most runway.
Uh-huh.
Right. You're a villain. There's nothing, you can't be too big.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing you can do is not do enough.
Mm-hmm.
So you can really go balls to the wall. So that, honestly, when I was watching the episode, I won't lie to you, I paused it and I did a little baby acting work, face acting. I was like, what would uh-huh I have done if I was a baby?
I like that.
Could I have, like, done it?
With the Baby Yolo.
With Baby Yolo. Uh-huh. And honestly, I think I could have turned out Baby Yolo.
I do too.
I think I could have stolen the show.
I do too. I think yeah I would have picked Baby Yolo. Because
yeah
I'm already such a weird little baby adult man.
Yeah.
That
yeah
I could channel that. And I was upset that I thought she did a fine.
She did fine.
But it's limitless.
It's limitless. That's what it is. That's
yeah
the only thing. Because I was like, I mean, the Darth one is one, you have a lot of lines. But if you really want to steal the show and not have to do too much work, all that Baby Yoda requires mm-hmm is you to set aside your ego a little bit and be an absolute fucking idiot.
Oh, lose your mind.
Lose your mind.
Babies do so many fun things that would have been in character, especially with, like, she can't even
those
reach
those tiny
her
little
bottle
hands. She can't reach a bottle. There was not nearly enough fucking wanking off into the mouth references.
Not. There's so much fun to be
there's
had.
There's so much fun
fake
with the hands.
Hands.
Oh my
are
God.
Are comedy platinum.
Comedy
to me
platinum. Teeny, teeny hands like that as well.
Yeah. That are
that can't move. You know, and the fact that it was so budget looking, there's
right
so much
awful
comedy to be had.
And they're talking about the little, which I did agree with RuPaul being like, you know, there's little things you could do. Reaching for your milk or nut, as
yes
they kept calling it, throughout the whole thing, that is gold.
Yes.
Like, just keep reaching for that and missing, like,
yeah
with your tongue. Like you're saying, look
yes
like an ass doing
your tongue
it
is out. Yes. I will say, I don't know if she's seen Star Wars.
Yeah.
Because yeah her voice, and I'm going to say hands up. I'm not like a Star Wars person. I've seen,
right,
I think, three of them.
Sure.
But at least pop culturally, you know, like, the Yoda voice. Like,
yeah, yeah,
you know, kidding, like, something.
Yeah.
Something.
How good you will be.
Yes,
something like that.
Something you can do.
And you could just do your Betsy Sodaro.
I could just do,
yeah,
oh, that's it.
Kirby swears she does the world's best Betsy Sodaro.
I do, but just this sound. Wait, I haven't warmed it up. Oh!
No.
Oh God, it's really echoey.
Oh, is it echoey?
Oh! Is that that scene? Oh, I haven't done it for a while.
No! I'll tell you this. I think you're a genius. I think you're stunning. Captivating.
Can't master
funny
it. Delusional about
your
this
Betsy
thing
is not good.
Oh!
I know. Stop it. You stop this. You Pooja, what is this behavior? Which I did love the reference to that in this episode. I don't know if you even know, but there's this very weird video of like a Big Brother where you haven't seen
mm-hmm
it. But Ella references it in this episode, and I just wanted to say very good reference.
Yeah.
I'll show.
It's good when they know a little, when they have can drop these little references in.
Uh-huh.
Brilliant.
It's really
That's
nice.
What you live for.
So let's talk about this. Okay. This, whatever, they're picking the roles.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I mean, Crystal has dyslexia. That's a real strug. There's this moment where Kitty is auditioning everyone.
Yeah.
Here's what I'll say, and obviously with the accent talk, they're like, oh, that's very West Country, or that's not. Yeah. And I was like, I'm lost.
Yeah.
I
will say this, though. British regional dialects are harder than any other accents. Like, I would take doing an American accent, I mean, a Jamaican accent. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm just naming accents I actually can do, but even if you were to be like, okay, I've never done a South African accent. Would you attempt it? 100% way before I would do Scottish. Scottish is so hard.
Really?
Irish, and there's different regions and islands, so that's also different. Like Northern Ireland.
Right.
Those accents are so hard. And then West Country is also hard. And I think most people who've grown up in London, I mean, there is this whole thing about Londoners, like, you know, we're Southerners and blah, blah, blah. And people often say, like, Londoners think England stops at the top of the M5, which is like, oh my God. It's because we are kind of like, London is our world. Like, if you ask me where are you from, I wouldn't say I'm English. I would say I'm from London. Like, that is my world.
Uh-huh.
So those accents, but I will say those accents are hard, but it does talk to a bit of like privilege still, because like when I was at drama school for all of 2 semesters,
mm-hmm.
we had to learn, we had dialects. And then in the one that we were like going to learn next, I remember we were working towards like a Scottish, that was what we had to master, so that like, you learn a Scottish accent, we're gonna learn something else. But it's also like, why is it Scottish? Like, when am I really gonna have to play a Scottish person?
Uh-huh.
But it's because these are the ones that like, these are the roles that white people generally get to play. They play Scottish people or Irish people or whatever, or West, you know, from Wales. And so you have to know those accents. But I'm more likely to get cast as an American or someone from somewhere in Africa or somewhere, you know, so like, it's not that I can't be Scottish. They actually went to a drama school with a black girl who was Scottish. It's not that I can't be, but there is an assumption that like you should be able to do these accents. And if you can do these accents, then you can do accents, mm-hmm. which is not necessarily true.
Yeah.
Scottish is bloody hard. All of them are.
It's Scottish. I also love when you talk about in the past, like you'll talk about the past, like the strange, interesting POV you have, because you know that someone white hears your accent and treats you in a little bit better because have a British accent.
In America, I mean, in England, I'm anonymous because I'm in London, I'm English. I look like everyone, mm-hmm. no one's impressed by it. But here, oh my God, I get treated so much better. I have so much accent privilege. Well, what I think it is that there is a deep, okay. You know when like, you know, there's some people where if you point out their mistake or if you say like, hey, that really offended me, they get really mad at you because they almost feel like you know, like if you said like to someone, and then we all have this person that are like, hey, that was not okay. Like, you know, that's kind of, let's just say you'd be like, that's kind of a racist thing to say, that they, mm-hmm. they might get defensive and go like, I'm not racist. Like you fucking do this all the time or whatever it is. They get really, and I think on a large scale, that is the white American experience with black people. There is this deep shame and also mm-hmm. knowing of what has been done in the past and what continues to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And it even existing, even the fact that this history exists and it hasn't been really acknowledged, creates this disdain for black people. Even it creates this disdain and embarrassment that then causes you to push it further away. And then you also are bombarded with ideas about black people. And I think that there is honestly like a deep, deep-seated disdain for black people in America. Mm-hmm. And when you are a black person from somewhere else, you are seemingly more white, so therefore more acceptable. And when I have an accent, it at first it's like, oh God, she's a black girl. And then they hear an accent, they're like, whew, she's one of the good ones. Thank God. She's like us. You know what I mean? It's like there is this, it takes the edge off. I mean, I think I've spoken about this before, but I remember being in a Goodwill in Pittsburgh, because you know, I'm a Goodwill girl, I'm a thrift shopper. And I walked past this woman and she clutched her bag. I mean, I watched her clutch her bag and I was with my friend and I started talking to her and she heard my accent and I will not lie to you, she literally released it. And then was like looking, because she wanted to start a conversation because it's so different.
Because
now I'm novel. Now it's like, oh, she couldn't possibly rob me. She's white.
Yeah. She's from super white land.
She's super white. I mean, I'm also white than me. She's English.
In fact, she gave me my whiteness.
She gave me my whiteness. Holy fuck. She's from Whiteland.
Holy shit.
Headgum.
Oh my god, Headgum.
Oh shit, Headgum, you're fucking
Headgum.
Your fucking poster fell off the wall, Headgum, and it hit Mano. Headgum. And we're suing.
So
okay,
big.
Mano, are you hurt?
No, I'm fine actually. I'm more
shocked.
I'm taking
a photo of it and we're gonna sue.
Wow, Headgum.
I've decided now that I live in America, it's time to sue someone. Everyone here.
And that's why you're not from Whiteland.
Look, look hurt in this photo, Mano.
Oh
shit. Headgum. Just so you know, and just so the listeners know, a board
like
fell
a,
on
like
Mono.
A sound
like a soundboard.
What do they call
it?
They're like a whatever.
A sound noise protector?
Yeah. I think that's dumb.
Noise protector. Fell on Mono's head.
Oh.
He's very injured during our podcast. He can't go on. He needs $1 million.
I guess they're really new in the space, I guess is what we'll say. This is
well, they're about to be out of the space because I'm gonna take them
okay.
From what
they've got. Okay. Because she knows some really white attorneys. I mean...
Because I'm white, and there is nothing more white than suing.
Oh, my God. Okay, wait. What else I want to say?
Okay.
Acting challenge, rehearsal. Gayness. Whatever. They're rehearsing. Space Baby Nut was very stupid.
Space Baby Nut. But I also thought, I know Michelle kept correcting, but I would have gone with it.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't we have gone with Space Baby Nut and the baby could have been like, what did you say? Or whatever. Like
That's a great point.
That was a great... There was nothing...
Yeah.
Space Baby Nut.
Yeah.
You know not.
Right?
Or whatever it is.
You are.
Yes. It
something.
Just, it just felt very stilted, this one. It didn't feel fun or free. And it honestly, like, I will say the British one, I look forward to the acting challenges because I'm like, I know I'm going to get a show.
Yes.
I know I'm going to get a show. There's like,
this
but season one, literally, there was not a bad actor.
No.
Some people weren't great. They
maybe
weren't,
like the first one or two acts.
Maybe. They weren't
maybe.
They weren't amazing, but they weren't. I mean, you've seen some where they're like,
yes.
Jesus, just say words. Just,
right.
Just be free. Be
like the fashion queens from the
yes.
American seasons where
yeah.
You're like, oh, you don't know talking.
Mm-mm.
No one taught you talking.
And that's kind of how the British one felt a little
but
bit.
This was not good. And it almost made me. Okay, another thing I've been talking about lately, and I want your opinion. Should we, like, retire camp? Like, should we, like, give camp a break? Because now camp isn't camp anymore or something.
I definitely cannot be the authority on camp.
Uh-huh.
But I will say this. In watching episode one, the other 19-year-old who wanted to call herself ISIS or whatever the goddamn thing she wanted to call herself,
mm-hmm.
She apparently wanted to be the face of Egypt. I was like, girl, you are not the face of Egypt. It fell.
Oh, God, Anubis.
Anubis. Anubis, you're not the face of Egypt, girl.
Sorry, gal,
you've
got to
step back. She's like, oh, my, you know, when she came out in that Egyptian flag, I was like, here we go. Which is also my other thing, which is like, I'm 1/8 something now. Everyone... Before everyone was like, I'm white,
people.
I swear I'm white. And now people are like, no, I'm not white. Me? No, me not white. Me Egyptian.
There's
a lot of that. But so she comes out and she's like, I'm the face of Egypt, which is bold. And then she is like, I'm camp. And actually what she did was for someone, let's say you took someone who doesn't know what camp is
mm-hmm.
and you made them watch the show. She kept going, I'm camp. I'm a campy queen. I'm this. What it seemed like was like camp equals crunch. Like, it was
yes.
really crunchy.
Yes.
And the fact that she kind of like made a few big eyes and didn't see herself, maybe she wasn't like leaning into the sexiness of
mm-hmm.
it. That immediately meant camp, but it almost was like gave camp this unrefined, no, camp doesn't have to be refined, but it gave it this quality that like, it's camp because I say so. I mean, I guess we're in a world
yeah.
now of like, this is because I say
you
so.
You know what a big, and this is what it is, and we talk about it, we're both, you know, we both done the UCB nerd thing.
Yeah.
I think for camp to work, you have to tell me why you think it's funny.
Yes.
Show with
yeah.
your performance why you think it's funny or why it is funny.
Yeah, and do you remember, and I don't know if they've done this in the last, literally the last like maybe 3 years of all the drag races, at least the UK, but of the US. But do you remember like early episodes they would do like Herstory and they would go through all the divas and they, remember he would do like this like
yeah,
slideshow
yeah, yeah, yeah,
and they'd
yeah.
be like, it started with this and
right.
they
yeah, we're talking about Dorothy.
Yes, and how we got here. And I think maybe that's what is missing now is
yeah.
the understanding of the past to know, like the understanding of the history of drag, because I think for a lot of people, their history of drag is RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah.
That is the history of drag for them. And I think
yeah.
maybe that's why some of it becomes a bit, it's almost like a photocopy of a photocopy. Like,
it is.
You know, and I don't think RuPaul would say, I am the history of drag at all. I think he was saying, like, there is a whole history you've got to learn.
Yeah.
But I think that for some people...
the trans queens of Stonewall.
Absolutely.
I mean, even before that, I mean, you know, we have to talk about Shakespearean drag.
Absolutely.
Stage drag. I mean, panto is
pantomime,
big.
You've got to talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and I learned...
And pantomime dames, like, that is this whole history. And I think maybe there's some of that that's missing, and that's the social media aspect too, where like... drag is so much about like the way you look and the way and how people respond to you on social media and blah blah blah, and it takes away sometimes from like being able to actually perform. Like I love Drag Race, but my favorite way to see drag is a live drag show.
Right.
And like sometimes you even see at shows, you get these look queens that the effort is so much in the look and not in the performance. Like I want to go and see a show. That's what I want to do. Like I've got a weekend in New York. I do work during the day, whatever. And then I want to go and see a fucking drag show that is like, oh my God, I can't believe I got to see this.
And it's so cool because we've been before to like the actual ballroom floor shows.
Yeah.
Where it's like, that's also another thing that like needs to be better explored, even in Drag Race. Of like, we need to talk about how the ballroom scene, I know we reference it with Paris is Burning, blah, blah, blah. But that's there's not like quite enough.
No, but about how like the ongoing ball scene as well, and like where it is now,
And of course, it is once again, like you're saying, which is so interesting. It's like it is pioneered by Black brown people.
Yes, absolutely.
They gave us this like performance space that we now know as gay.
Yes, and I also think that like you know within drag, and you know you can't fully help. Like I don't know. Like the UK, I don't think I'm wrong to say like UK Drag Race is not super diverse. They've tried, but like, I don't know if that's representative of the industry.
They just want to get rid of those POC queens earlier. Just get them out of here.
You know, I think that some of that is like sometimes. I mean, I can't speak for the season because I haven't seen all of it. But sometimes that is a real misunderstanding. Like at least in the US ones, like I guess it's just like drag. You know, drag is not separate from the issues at large.
Exactly.
And I feel like there are some of these like some of the queens like in like some of these like powerhouse Black queens don't get the respect they deserve, but when sort of like a white queen does a modicum of what they're doing, they do.
Period.
And it's like completely indicative of the larger
Period.
issue. But that
well,
thing where it's like
and I'll say this again, I've said this before, but I'll say it again, our superheroes are white.
Yeah.
To me, that says everything about how we view power, because it's like superheroes have to be white.
Yeah.
And we're only now talking and like now when there's a superhero
but
person.
But they're Black this person, gay this person.
Wow.
You know what I mean? It's like there's gonna be a gay this character, but it's
exactly.
like they're not just that character first.
Right.
We don't call him white Superman or white Spider-Man.
Exactly. But we're just like, no, super no. That, and like the way people freaked out about Ariel being Haley.
Yeah.
They're just like, no!
Yeah.
Our heroes are white.
Yeah.
Which says a lot about how we view power in people and even in drag.
Yeah.
We're like, I don't know why, but God, she's a star.
Yes.
Whereas like this person didn't quite do it for me.
Yes.
And it's all this subconscious racism.
Yes, yes. And what we value, right? Like, you know, it's definitely, you know, again, jumping to this episode.
Yes.
And seeing that, see, because I haven't been through it, I can't.
Yeah, no worries. Wait, what are you
She's lip synced four times.
Yes, Vanity.
Okay, Vanity, yeah.
Yes.
Seeing that she's lip synced, and it's like, well, you know, you've lip synced four times, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, sure. She's clearly, for whatever reason, which I will see tonight, been in the bottom and she's lip synced. But can we not give like credit for the fact that like a huge part of drag is performance and this girl knows how to perform? And yet, if you're
her
a safe queen based on your looks,
you're
like, wow, she did so good. It's like, yeah, but I need to see her. I need to see what else she can do besides look good and put makeup on. Like, I need to see what else people can do.
Her performances have been insane. They've been some of the best lip syncs. And I agree, like, that is a big thing. That is a huge thing.
But we're not valuing that. And, like, that to me is, like that is a sort of, like, underappreciation of, like, the ball scene. Because, like, that's, you know, a lot of ball is... Not everyone's like dolled up to the nines.
Right.
Like, it's so much about the dance and the movement and like the show you're getting. And I don't know, it is just an interesting evolution of Drag Race to see it almost be like, expanded Instagram sometimes.
It could be the way the show's set up. It's seen as like you're punished, right? Because you're in the bottom and you're punished, right? So it's like being saved from that is still feels like being taken back after a breakup.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's this weird thing of like, well, I guess you're still here.
Yes.
Like, thanks.
Yeah. But really, it's like, well, this is, that's a huge, to be able to do that and be like, oh, to be a lip sync assassin is huge. Like, I want to go to her show. I would rather go to Vanity show than go to Crystal's. Like,
period. Like, because you're like, that looks great. That could probably be captured in a photo.
Yes. Yeah. Like on our Instagram.
Yeah.
But for a show, oh no, I want to
see Vanity.
Yeah.
But hey, silence, Kirby. I need to call my lawyer.
I have a great one.
Oh my God. Thank
really?
You.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Are you seeing some triggering ads on social media? Stuff about summer bodies, stuff about the diet cleanse, stuff about trimming down. Fuck that noise. That stuff is triggering for me, and I assume it's triggering for someone else listening. That's why I use BetterHelp. BetterHelp allows me to get in touch with a licensed professional therapist who can help me recharge, who can help me de-crap my brain. Because those negative images and slogans can really creep in and give me negative body talk. You know what I mean? Any form of negative self-talk that is traumatic for me. And thankfully, I'm using these tools and being honest about them and articulating them in a way that takes the power away from them. If you're thinking about therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try because it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. That's how I found my personal therapist. I found my sweet spot with BetterHelp. So go. Visit BetterHelp.com/dragher today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragher. Go find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Are you ready? She ready?
I'm ready. She ready.
Bring back my break. Okay, we need to chirp and burp these looks. Really quickly.
I love that. Chub and Bub. Did you make that up?
Well, yes, because we're the only Drag Race podcast available on the internet. And some people might say that other podcasts approve or disapprove of looks, but we're the only one that chirps them or burps them.
Chirp or burp is so good. See, that's why you're a genius. You know I love
this.
Look.
Is the writing genius
it.
You're talking about.
Let us chirp.
Okay, so RuPaul comes out on the main stage first in a look which is good.
But
I was like, did she do a design challenge backstage? Because she almost looks like she was forced to put this lurk together really quickly. Yeah.
And we love our mother.
She's a goddess.
A goddess. And that's why, honestly, it's still okay.
Yes.
That's why.
I mean, the mug, the face, the personality.
The mug, the face. I mean, like, this is not the first time I would have burped one of Mother Rue's looks, but it's almost like it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The rest of it, if this is what I mean, if it was just about the look, you'd burp it and whatever, but it's like, oh yeah, you see way past that. And that's the generosity they don't always give to the queens. It's like, can we not always see past like the look?
Yes. And it is very Derek Berry, a piece of fabric around her waist. I'm just surprised.
Very Berry.
I think there's so much Drag Race that they don't even have time to give her special outfits every time. Yes. This was their best attempt.
Yeah. I think so. Because I will say, but I do think they somehow save the best for the Americans. I will say.
I think you're right.
They save the lurks for the Americans. They do.
And if it is scene stealers, like, she could have probably worn something more scene stealing or movie involved.
Yeah,
but
I didn't get the correlation, but you're right. I mean, there is a huge amount of drag there. You know what I really want to see on drag is like, Rue once talked about how he has everything that he's ever worn, right? Like, like archived from the first season, whatever. Bring it back. Like, I would love to see some of those old looks, like,
yeah,
upcycled, redone. Like, I would, rather than it having to be a whole new look every, it would be so cool to be like, this is a look from season one that he has had a designer completely redo. And that also promotes the idea of like sustainability a little bit. And it would just be cool, right? Like, that's the show, is bringing back your old shit and let's see how we can redo it.
I agree. I don't need to see something completely brand new every time.
Imagine you saw something that you'd seen from the freaking Vaseline season one, and you're like, whoa, that got redone, or that, you know, I would love to see
I would even love if she was like, this season I'm wearing one look from every season before.
Yes.
Why not?
The best of our favorite looks from every season, but why not?
It's too much.
I love it.
Too much fabric.
Yeah.
Okay, we're chirping and burping these looks, and right out the gate, Crystal Versace comes out.
I mean, it's a big old chirp.
I mean,
but also,
this is incredible.
This is incredible. And actually, in watching this, I will say, I know that I was part of a big film. And then in watching this, I was like, holy shit, I was on Corrette. Like, people.
You forgot?
No, I remember, but like, I think that sometimes when you're busy working and you're in it, you're just like, okay, I did that film, I did this, I did a carpet, I did it, whatever.
I mean, you're Anita, darling.
Yeah, I mean, I would have liked someone to dress up as me, but what can you do? I'm not the titular character there. But I will say, I watched that and I was like, oh yeah, that movie is so big for fashion.
Yeah.
And this was inspired. It's beautiful.
It was awesome.
But I mean, I know I don't have to have even gone back and see. I know I'm never going to be disappointed by what she wears.
She looks incredible. Yeah. She really just gives. She's very Violet Chachki in that way.
I was going to say, does she push the button? I mean,
yeah,
that's the other thing. With the campy queens, they're always like, can you do glamour? But they never ask these queens if they can do glamour. They never ask, like, or camp. You know, they never go like, can you do camp? Can you be ugly? Can you?
Yeah.
They're just like, we love that you're beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting thing, but they love the skinny people so much.
They do.
They think and you know, it's a talent.
It's a talent.
It's a talent.
Eating is hard. I will say,
I've tried it. I haven't figured it out.
It's
really that
difficult.
Much. This is I'm not even kidding. This is one of my top 5, 6
looks
favorite
ever.
Looks ever.
Yeah, it's stunning.
The makeup too.
The green.
She didn't have to go that hard on
she
that.
She didn't have to go that she hard, did. But she did. She did.
It's a fucking caca chirp.
It is great.
It is really cute. And it's a slightly different, it's a different silhouette than we've seen her in, which is good news for her. Because sometimes she does get critiqued for having similar silhouettes, but not so much this week. Okay. Ella Vidae giving you Oompa Loompa Doompity Don't.
I mean, that's...
I love it.
For me, that was a burp.
Oh, really?
I get it.
I liked it.
I can't believe the words Party City weren't said. I mean, I know it's an Oompa Loompa, but
do
is
you
it...
you feel like the tight...
I felt like the cinch could have been a little bit better. I felt like even the neck doesn't quite match. The colour could have matched. Like, I don't know. There's something about it for me...
Yeah.
...that felt... Like, if you look at... When I looked at look at the Cruella and how that's been done, and I know it's an Oompa Loompa, I know it's fun.
Yeah.
Oh, there's something about it to me that looked like she designed, that she made it herself.
Here's the insight. I think you'll want to know.
I think
her looks have been pretty mediocre. So I think this, they got so excited because this is actually
different.
Diff. Oh my god. Jesus. Oh my god. Jesus. Kirby. HeadGum? We're going to blame HeadGum for that one.
That's my lawyer calling.
Thank you. Thank you. We have him on retainer. She's been wearing very
safe,
fine, safe stuff. And I think that's why she's getting super praised for this. I did like this.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
I did enjoy, look, I enjoyed it. I just felt like it wasn't in the same world. It wasn't in top four. I didn't think that that was the world.
Right.
But you also have to consider the world, like when I watch and go back and see what's come before, you know, like things aren't, there's not like a goal. There's not a standard like, this is 10, this is 5. It's almost like each season is about the team. And if the team
is
at this, if the team is signed at a 5, we hope that they can get to an 8.
Totally.
Whereas some teams are signed at a 10. You know, like you know, we've seen it. There are some seasons.
And then
seasons,
people get punished for giving an 100%. 8.
Like there are some seasons where it's just like, you know, like Raja's season. You know,
yeah.
Like there's some seasons where you're like, oh shit, this is gonna be hot. Or detox, like that.
Yes.
There's those seasons where you're like, holy shit. Was that
right?
That was something.
Well, no, those were different seasons, but like All Stars 2 was also one where
yes.
like, everyone was so incredible.
Well, you're like, oh
dinging.
Fuck. Episode 1, we
yeah.
are coming. No, yeah, because Detox was with Roxy
Alaska.
Alaska,
what the whole
Alaska
talks
moment. But that's what I mean. Like, there are some seasons where you're like, oh shit, the standard is so high, this is gonna
mm-hmm.
be difficult. So I maybe that is also why this, I could just see this look being critiqued harder than it was. It was surprising to me. Like, I could see Michelle going off and
yeah.
be like, this could have been done, that could have been done.
The makeup
surprised.
Impressed me. I'm just going to give her that point.
Gorgeous.
Like,
her face
to
is
do
gorgeous.
The weird white Oompa Loompa brow and make it look good. Yes, I'm going to have to chirp it, but I very much endorse it if you're going to burp. Like,
okay.
That's 100%.
I'm a somewhere between a chirp and a burp.
Okay. It's, okay, great. So you have a little bit of a little something
one of those
up.
Burps that you stifle because you're not sure if it smells. You're like,
don't say, I will say the, like, suspender chaps. Like, who's that for?
Right.
Who is that for? I guess it's definitely a reference to the Wonka silhouette, but
yeah.
Okay. Vanity Milantert giving us
Baps.
Halle Berry reference. What do you think?
Now, I really liked it. Like
yeah.
I love the Baps reference because you get it immediately. I gotta say, what I heard from the critiques, which I didn't see, was that like she wore a similar wig and
she wore something
orange,
very similar.
And that's bad. But if
yeah.
it was, but also, I'm again a middle of a chirp and burp because if we're going Baps, that hair needed to be like 10 inches higher.
Yeah.
For sure.
Interesting.
And even the outfit, like, for sure that hair needed to be bigger this season. Because
mm-hmm.
also, don't forget, we've seen a bit of the Baps from, Simone.
She
almost.
She put Utica in a Baps look.
Yes, yes. Remember when Utica was like,
yeah.
I don't know what it was. So we've seen Baps done really well. And
in order to do it, I'm going to put squirrels on my head.
Yes. Oh, yeah. She was like, I don't want to put an afro. But it's like, oh, my God. This is when the fucking liberal snake eats itself.
Yeah. Yes.
Not because it's an afro. It's like, he had an afro. Anyway,
yeah.
we don't get into it. But I will say also, I think I would have liked, which I kind of liked about the Cruella. This is Drag Race UK, right?
Yeah.
Baps is literally Black American Princess. I
yeah.
would have liked some more homage to British things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what I mean about going the way of like, we're all becoming the same thing. Like,
yeah.
I never saw Baps growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I watched Baps as an adult. Baps is so
mm-hmm.
culturally American. And like,
it is.
I just would have, I think I would have liked to have seen, I don't know, something that was like something British. But then again, I mean, I'm sitting here and I'm like struggling to
find what
that is.
Well, they talk about that in season 2. There's so little
yes,
Black British representation.
There's so
like
little Black
Naomi
British.
Naomi Campbell.
Yeah.
And I think there was one other person they referenced that I wasn't even super familiar with.
Yeah.
So like, I was like, yeah, those are the
yeah,
ones.
Yeah, I'm like, it is, you know, I'm sitting here, I'm like,
a gal from
who's...
Little Mix? I don't know.
Oh my God.
Oh.
And I couldn't even tell you what she looks like.
Yeah.
She really couldn't.
Yeah.
I don't know how many girls are in that group.
Right.
4, 5? What's the whole point?
Scary Spice?
Mixed
I don't know. There's like not
okay,
a lot.
There's Scary Spice. But like, okay, I'm struggling. I want to think of it by the end of this, to think of like who she could have been that was like,
scene
British,
stealing.
But also scene stealer. But even if it wasn't like
Shouldn't it? You know, she could have.
I don't know. I mean, this is a more modern reference, but she could have been the. And I didn't watch this whole show, but I do remember there was that black queen in. What's the show that everyone loved? This, my brain, I smoked too much weed. My brain is gone.
Wait, which show? We're Here? What are we talking about?
No,
what
show? It was the Victorian show and everyone loved it on,
Bridgerton. Dance.
Bridgerton.
Oh, she that would have been good.
She could have been the black queen from Bridgerton. Like, that's modern.
That would have been good.
But that could have been a, because that is essentially almost like a Marie Antoinette style. Yeah. Big, like, with the cane rose instead. Yeah. And I mean, like, that's modern, but that could have been a real scene stealer.
Yeah. That's pretty hot.
You know?
That's hot.
Because this is American.
Yeah.
Baps, it's literally in the name. Baps.
It's in the name.
It's in the name.
Yeah, you know, she could have just also just been anyone. Because, I mean, you know, I love when a black queen, you know, just lets, like, doesn't let her identity limit who she's going to be. Like, when Bob does a Carol Channing. It's like, I'm doing Carol Channing.
Right. But also, a scene stealer, you could also make that open to interpretation, right? Because yeah. You could literally, like, in my mind, I almost see it, like, if I were to do scene stealers, I already see it in my head, like, I would get negatives from, like you know, like, photo negatives.
And make, like, a film dress?
Yes, make, like, a film dress made out of film. And, like, totally. Have that and have a massive, have my head, like, have a film, like, probably, like...
You do drag these days.
I do drag. I love drag. But I would do, like, film. Like, I would do a pixie, but in film. The whole thing would be... And that would be my scene stealer.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't know already, go look at Kirby's Instagram.
Okay, but I also want to say this, because I need this to be on the podcast. Like, I need people to hear this.
Say it.
You once said, Mono, and it's the funniest shit I ever heard and the truest shit. You once said, the Met Gala is drag for straight people. And you said, and it sticks with me to this day, because when I watch Met Gala, I love seeing the thing. Sometimes I'm like, well...
Yeah.
It is. It's drag for straight. But I'm like... You don't need the Met Gala to be drag. You can do drag on any carpet you want to do it on.
I agree. I mean, you've been turning looks lately that have been so gorgeous.
I want them even bigger. I want even more looks.
You should.
I want even more.
You should.
Yeah, I need to.
It makes me so happy to see women like you and Nicole, like, doing stunning shit.
Oh, thanks, man.
And just... I don't know, unapologetic, just being like, oh, I'm wearing a stunning dress, I don't care.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't even need to be an occasion.
It doesn't need to be an occasion.
I'm wearing something sickening.
It's just, why not? It's so fun.
Yeah, awesome. I love it. Okay, Kitty Scott Claus.
Kitty Scott Claus.
Does Rose from the Titanic. Love it.
That's a chirp. I like it.
It's a chirp.
I think it was funny. They were like, she didn't need to pull away. The reveal revealed nothing.
Yeah, that's
at all.
True.
But
that's
I liked that. True. And I liked that she was like, it's my favorite film. And, you know, I wouldn't have even... I mean, I know Titanic is memorable. I wouldn't even have remembered to think of a character. I really like that.
You know, the only...
It's not like Cruella. You know, that's like you think of it immediately. I love that.
I love this. It was great. I love that she did the gem.
Yes.
It's pretty great. This isn't asking too much, but now that she kept doing the story, I was almost expecting her to, like, pull off her clothes and reveal, like, a nude bodysuit.
Oh, like, was
and
she,
be
like,
drawn.
She, yeah, oh, yes. Or well, like, I also thought maybe, like, there was some reference, like, something to do with the plank of wood.
Yes, like,
there was
like a wood raft or something.
Yes,
that's
yes.
asking a lot.
That is asking a lot. She did bring out the gem.
She did.
And toss it in the
she
water.
She did. So, I thought that was a very chirpy runway. I was happy.
Yeah.
We watch Bra Wars. It is wild. You know, there's some funny moments, though. It's not the worst acting challenge. I love lines like, what a shithole Uranus is.
Yes. And I will say, Vanity beat her face amazingly for that baby
YOLO.
For YOLO.
Yeah.
Amazingly. The blue, and even if you look under her eye, she's even highlighted. That is a beautiful beat.
I didn't even notice that. So
that's
beautiful. This is good
beat.
Intel.
Go and watch. I was like, oh, that is a beautiful beat in blue. And like, I'm like, see, that's where she could push because she clearly knows how to do it. And like, I don't know, really fully paint your face.
Mm-hmm.
Paint, like, she looked incredible in blue. She could do that again.
That's actually a really good point.
Like,
that she could have done some weird shit.
Some weird shit.
She could have done fucking Gamora from
Guardians
of the Galaxy.
Oh my god, that would be amazing.
That would be hot.
That would be so hot. But see, that's what I mean. I think as well, people don't always think about going sort of like left of center because... So much of it is like, do I look beautiful? Am I going to look beautiful? And I like, we got a kind of like, interesting is better than beautiful.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah. Yeah, it's also hard to know what the judges are going to live for because, true, you know, we know they're can be hard to please sometimes. You're like, what?
It can be a moving target.
It's a moving target. Yeah, it's a moving target. What else? We have robots that are very Doctor Who. Those robots are from Doctor Who, right?
Yeah, they were Daleks for sure.
Right.
Like, they were fully from Doctor Who.
Okay, so I was like, okay, we're kind of mixing references here. The pleather touch, they lost their mind. Over homegirl.
Can I tell you, I loved the pleather, but it was to me the only moment that I was like, oh, yeah, she did something. For how much she was being like, I'm an actor, I'm this, I'm that, da, da, da.
Yeah.
When she did that, I was like, oh, that's funny, but where was that throughout? Where was the extra touch of that kind of improvisational magic throughout?
And in fact, like, even if like the moment of like the helmet, I'm like, you could maybe fight with your helmet more. I think
way
that
more.
Could be. That's
your
that's
hair
fun.
Could have been way more disheveled with a helmet. Your wig could have been lopsided. It could have been like, it right. Been a funny thing where you fix the wig. Like,
totally.
There were so many more places to go.
Really, all of them could have taken. I mean, like I said, YOLO could have gone somewhere. I thought C-3PO was really middle of the road.
Very middle of the road. But she got rewarded because, sorry, speaking chair. She got rewarded because it's almost like, that's the best you can do, honey.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because she really got rewarded for that.
She did.
And, like, you know, the joke of her, you know, taking up the bum. And it was kind of like, well, that was written. That wasn't really her doing anything.
Yeah.
She didn't push the button. Like, even, like, you know, Kitty, when she was being killed with, like, the orgasm. Like, you know,
yeah,
she really did
whoa
something.
For me,
yeah,
she won this challenge.
Me too.
Hands down. She's just, and like, she does a lot of goofy, campy stuff, but I like her take on camp.
Yeah,
like,
I do too.
It's fun. I don't
it's
know.
It's really fun. It feels fun. It's fun to watch. It's polished. Like, even in her interviews, she's, you know, she is camp all the time. Like, she's fun.
Yes.
She feels like a pantomime queen to me. Like,
she's
she feels
hilarious.
Like she could fully do a run, like, and be a panto
easy
queen. Easy.
She's my winner out of this cast.
Out of this cast, I think she won. I mean, honestly, slightly begrudgingly, but maybe just because I didn't see it from the beginning, but out of what who is left, she kind of is my winner. I mean, unless I go back and see some real...
I don't know. I want to hear your opinion.
Yeah,
you might. You, I don't know. I don't want to speak for you. I want because, look, if any of these queens win, I'll actually be pumped.
Yeah.
But... yeah, for me, I just, I'm always, and I think it's also because, you know, we're a little bit of comedy freaks.
Yeah.
I'm always going to have a little bit more of a shine
yes
to the comedy weirdo.
Yes, and for me, it's like, I love seeing, like Trinity the Tuck, yeah? Like,
yes,
you know, someone who kind
yes
of is like, looks, and then she really found that thing, because I think there's a beautiful way that they can blend. It's not that it's one or the other, like, oh, you got, if you're funny, you're not a look queen. If you're a look queen, you're not funny. Like,
yeah,
there is a way to blend it, but I think it comes from, like, being able to not be as self-conscious and
yeah
not, like, not have that, like, I've got always look good. I think it's not, people don't always want to look not good, or they don't want to look
yes
ugly.
They're
that's
scared
it. When I say
ugly,
yeah, I don't mean ugly, say like looks wise, like they don't want to look ugly, they don't want to pull a weird face or look
right
silly. And I think when you can let that go, you can fly. And that's what Trinity the Tuck did. Like, she fucking let it go, being like this perfect sexy queen,
uh-huh,
and got silly, and she was so good.
Yeah. She, yeah, I know what you mean. Like, those surprises are really fun and drag,
really,
right?
Really
so you're
fun.
Like, ooh, what
yeah
the hell?
Yeah.
What the fuck? Where was that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love those are really exciting moments. And I'm even thinking of Tamisha Iman in season 13.
Yes.
She was doing her weird share. I was like, yeah.
Yes.
Do that. That's funny.
100%.
So, this weird acting challenge, there's some reference I definitely did not get where mm Russell, Toby, and Kitty are like, oh, was that Pamela?
From Gavin and Stacey.
Got it. What's great?
Big,
that
big,
sitcom?
Big show. Yeah, the
show?
Sitcom
okay
was really, really big. My mum actually loved that show. Gavin and Stacey is like a massive show. James Corden was on that show, actually.
Amaze. And by amaze, I mean, okay.
He was really, I think that was like him really, I mean,
this is like breakout moment.
Kind of. He'd done a lot of stuff before,
yeah,
but that show was hugely popular. Like, everyone who's on that show, that's the type of show where like, everyone who's on that show will forever be like, Gavin, when someone sees him
yeah
on the street. You know what I mean? Like, they will, James Corden probably in England is probably still recognized for Gavin and Stacey.
Yeah.
Like, it really was a show that, and also, again, pre-streaming, we were all watching the same shows. Like, it was on the BBC. It was super, super popular. You know, they come back and did Christmas special. And like,
you'll never guess who's calling years me later. Right now.
Who? Betsy. Did she hear my impression?
Yeah, wait. No, she didn't, but maybe she did.
No, it's not mine. Any...
Betsy, look who...
Look at my boobies. Look at my boobies.
Look who I'm...
Boots.
Look at who I'm here with.
Boots.
Hey. What you doing?
I'm recording. I was pretending to be you.
I was just roasting her for... I was just roasting Kirby for her Betsy impression.
Like, let's do the impression now, and then the listeners can say whose is better. Who sounds better?
Okay,
like
let's see if this works.
Are you recording right now?
Yes, we're recording right now. So we have you saying, look at my boobies, a lot. Okay. Okay, so now no particular order. I'll point to one of you, and one of you will do your best Betsy Sodaro. Okay? Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3.
Oh!
Okay, 1, 2, 3.
Oh! Okay, that was really close.
Who was who? Who was who?
Who was who?
Okay, Betsy, I guess we should go finish recording this.
Yeah, I'll talk to you later.
I thought this was too funny.
Bye!
That was too funny. I had to. Sorry to our lovely sound engineer.
Sorry, sound engineer.
Sorry. Okay. Sorry, Pamela. That was cute. That was cute. Funny. Kitty's hilarious. So is Betsy. This is funny because I like that Rue shades the writing in the critique, where she's like,
that was funny.
But she also says, and I quote, "These challenges are designed to let us have a peek into the psyches of our performers."
Yeah.
Such as Drag Race.
Such as Drag Race.
I think I'm happy for this top four. How did you feel about this? You know, this fun production evil? Because I thought this was fun production evil, where they say, "You guys, we're in the bottom,
yes,
but you're not. You're safe. Ha ha, you're lip-syncing for the top two."
The production evil. You know, I liked it because it did take them down a little peg for a second, because they were shook.
They were so sure and then shook.
Sure and then shook.
Yeah.
And I liked that. I liked, like, and I also liked the fact that, like, Manny was like, "Okay, see ya. Like, you do not have to tell me twice."
Right. Whereas Crystal felt guilty.
Yes. Yeah, she was like, oh, wow. I liked it. I mean, look, I don't mind there being a top four, but ultimately there's only going to be one. So if we cut that person now, we cut them next week. It could have been done. I guess it feels nice to be like, I'm in the top four, but then you're never in the top three.
I'm sure there's a certain number of episodes they have to... That's it. They have to fill in a certain number of episodes.
Yes.
And I guess it's up to... Because I was saying cut someone and then have a top two episode, but I think they're scared of that production-wise.
Yes. I don't even mind the top three. It's just that, like, a little bit of this, like, you're all in the top four, top five. It's like, yeah, but... Okay.
Yeah.
And I hate... This makes me sound like an old person, because old people are like, oh, everyone's giving out badges for mediocrity. But it is kind of like, someone is going to win this, okay?
Yeah.
So whether we do... We're like, you're all safe.
Yeah.
Or you're set, some one person is going to win. So let's cut someone now and have a top three. Because it's kind of nice to be like, look, I made it into the top three. I earned my place in this top three.
Yeah.
To be at the top four 2 weeks in a row, it's like, guys, come on.
Yeah.
Come on. One of us got to win. Like,
it is.
What are we doing here?
It's just like you.
So one extra person gets to be like, yeah, I'm in the top. It's like, but one of you isn't meant to be here.
Right.
Sorry. And let's just cut it now. Like, that's the way the world works.
I guess they were probably because, like, next week's this roast challenge, and I'm like, they're like three people doing a roast challenge.
Yes.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's just like how they already stretch the material. They already edit the shit out of it to try to make everyone look decent.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's only so much roasting.
And to be honest, like, obviously the top two are always going to be safe. So let's say now you put Crystal against
and Vanity. Let's say
Vanity's gonna wipe the floor with her. So
that's that. Now you're a producer.
So
you're a producer.
But then I'm like,
that's
then,
it.
Well, then you're a producer, but then also then you're going like, You're a producer. You're editing the show because you're going, well, we really do want Crystal here next week. And if you put her up against that, like, there's no way we will do
it. Truly quarter her like a fish. Yeah. Like, butcher her.
Drawn and quartered.
The way that fucking Gordon Ramsay pulls, like, the spine out 100%. Of a fish. And you're like, what?
So then you're like, okay, but...
Doggies!
But that's the game, isn't it? It's like, if she can beat you, she can beat you. You can't be like, well, we really want her. And like,
let's just... That's it.
But that's the game. That is the show. And you know she's going to freaking beat you.
She would.
Yeah.
Damn, you really cracked the code on that one.
Yeah.
That was the reason behind it.
One thing. Okay, one more kind of spanner in the works. Why can't the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race be the person who lip sync their way to the top?
I agree.
Why can't that be the winner?
Why not?
Why not? Because
it's the fiercest way to win.
Because they don't look great. Okay, when they win, they now get a makeup artist. They get stylists. They get budgets. Like, I know Shangela ain't doing her own makeup and dressing herself.
Absolutely. Like, we've even had the gorgeous RuPaul in, you know, which one thing you missed, but you'll see is RuPaul, when one of the girls is like, oh, like, well, you know what it's like to do your makeup. RuPaul's like, no, I never do my makeup.
Right.
And she's like, you know, it's a joke, it's cute. But, you know, even someone as amazing as RuPaul doesn't do their own makeup.
Yeah, or hair, like, at this point at all. It's a whole team. And so I'm like, why can't it be the person who gives you the show? Why can't it be that person?
We need that. And that's also, like, a new exciting thing for Drag Race to be.
Totally. Because that's also still a win. That is still a win.
Yes. It's arguably a larger win.
Yeah.
Because also we know how mentally challenging the show is.
Yeah.
It's no secret. It's psychologically testing.
Yeah.
And to continue to be excellent when you're facing the lows, even more impressive.
Right.
It's amazing. I will say also, RuPaul felt like she was a little patronizing to Kitty. Like, there was just a moment where she was like, wow, you're still here. I applaud Kitty for being as bold as she is.
Yeah, and then even Graham Norton being like, you know, I feel bad. I didn't see Kitty. It's almost like, oh, shit. It's like, maybe it's good she didn't even know how written off she was. Because everyone's like, yeah, not you.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Very good for her. We have this lip sync. I enjoyed this lip sync. I do think Kitty won. But
I do think Kitty won, too. Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed the lip sync.
Ella, I
liked Ella. I mean, I was like, look, Ella, the things Ella can do is Ella can do the splits, she can do the front way splits, and she can do the thingy splits.
Sincere sexual version
she,
of
she
the
tried it. Well, the thing is, I was like, Ella's got to figure it out, right? Because she can do splits, but she's also not a twirling queen. She's not really going to give you that show. But she's not, so, and then she tried to do a few little, she tried to whine a little bit and do a few little booty pops. It was like, that's not you. It's not.
It's a little stiff.
It's a little stiff. And I was just like, she's never going to win a lip sync because we also can't figure out what lane she's in.
Yes.
But Kitty won that for sure because we know what Kitty does. And I think Kitty with a death drop.
Kitty!
It did feel like you know, like the way a kitten heel is still technically a heel?
Yes.
Like her death drop was like, it's still technically a death drop.
It was like a death splat.
Yeah, she's no Laganja.
She's no Laganja. No. But she committed, admirable.
Yeah, she committed.
And I know what you mean, Ella, and I don't, again, don't come for me, but I think Ella's like a jack of all trades.
Yeah, master of none, a little
whoop,
bit. A little bit.
That's why I'm like, she's very competent. She reminds me of Rosé from season 13.
Yes,
which I'm like, I get it, you're good. That's I'm missing some look. Joy. Yes.
Rosé.
I'm missing some sparks.
Like, the production is there. You're right. Yeah. You're right. That's a very, very apt comparison.
Especially when you're like, I'm the Broadway queen.
Yeah.
I'm going to slay this. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's all she wrote. That's our app. Cuckoo,
cuckoo. Cuckoo, baby.
Kirby, how can we support you? I know you're in a million things. You're on a new deadline article every fucking week, baby.
I'm trying. Gotta pay these. Gotta build some generational wealth. how can you support me? You can support me by donating money to an organization called Sharing Love with Others, which is a lady called Maxine Seeley. She's amazing. She does meals every single Saturday on Skid Row for people.
Oh, I love that.
And she is amazing. You can send some money her way. You can also...
What's their Instagram? Can I find their Instagram?
Sharing Love With Others.
Sharing Love With
and
Others.
And then I also have a friend called Eva Woods. Eva Woods, who does meals down at MacArthur Park.
Love
for
that.
People who are experiencing houses. Or people who just, you know, have a little, you know, food insecurity and need a meal. She does meals every... I think she does those every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You can find her through my IG. She's Eva Woods. So Sharing Love With Others.
Baptiste.
Yes. And then Eva Woods. You can find them both on my Instagram.
Yes.
At Kirby Howell Baptiste. All
one
word.
We'll put it
spaces.
In the pod description too.
Okay, perfect.
Kirby, I love you so fucking much. You're amazing. Thank you for actually giving us the British tea.
Thanks,
and I do mean tea.
High tea. Yummy, yummy, oh, great.
Cucumber sandwich.
Yummy.
Okay. Okay, we love you. Oh, support us by going to Drag Her Podcast on Instagram. Please give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. It helps
five
keep the
stars,
lights on.
Please.
And it's going to help pay for the lawyer fee. Because...
Yeah. Well, actually, we're going to get a no-win, no-fee lawyer.
Oh! You're good.
Yeah.
You're
but
good.
We do need the 5 stars still.
We still need them.
Comment on how hurt you think mine is.
Until next time.
Bye, bitches!
Bye.
That was a HeadGum Original.